Welcome to the Toastmasters podcast, the official podcast of Toastmasters International. Hello, everybody. This is Greg Gazin. Our annual tradition continues with the 2025 Toastmasters International Convention coming up on August 20 to 23rd in the city of Brotherly Love, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, in the U.S. And we have the opportunity to hear about it from the host district chair. And this year, the host district chair is someone I'm sure many of you know, distinguished Toastmaster, accredited speaker, and past international president, Dilip Abeyasekara. He's a longstanding and highly respected leader in the Toastmasters community. With a remarkable speaking career and decades of service, Dilip continues to inspire members worldwide. He joined Toastmasters back in 1986 while working as an industrial chemist in St. Louis. Captivated from his very first meeting, he maintained continuous membership ever since and joining a new club each time he moved for work. Toastmasters changed his life, he said, inspiring multiple career transitions from chemist to corporate trainer, keynote speaker, professor, administrator, and eventually pastor. As international president in 2005-2006, he led with the theme, Find Your Voice, Serve Your World. Dilip also found success in speech contests, earning district titles in table topics, evaluation, and international speech, making it to the World Championship Finals twice and placing second in 1992. Now retired from the ministry and living in Lancaster, Pennsylvania, Dilip continues to mentor Toastmasters around the globe, and he keeps on going. Today, he joins us in the capacity of host district chair for the upcoming 2025 Toastmasters International Convention. And he's here to give us a sneak peek into this global event and how it honors the organization's century-long legacy while looking towards the future. Now, Dilip is on holidays, and he's coming to us from down under, Whyalla in southern Australia. Dilip Abeyasekara, welcome back to the Toastmasters podcast.
Thank you, Greg. I'm delighted to be here with you.
Thank you for finding the time for us on your whirlwind holiday tour. Now, last time we chatted was back in December, episode 264, and that time we spoke about speech contests and the insight secrets, and now you're back with a different hat, host district chair. So before we get into the nitty-gritty of the convention, tell us how this opportunity came about and perhaps a little about what you do.
It's interesting, what you call an opportunity. Yes, opportunities arise at unexpected moments. So I was in Anaheim, California last year for the International Convention when CEO Dan Rex approached me and he said, Dilip, I have a favor to ask of you. If you can say yes, I'd like to hear that. I said, what is it? He said, would you consider being host district chair for next year's convention? I was very surprised because normally I thought they arrange these several years ahead of time. Where is it going to be? He said, Philadelphia. So then I understood why he was asking me, because Philadelphia is home to District 38, my home district. He was looking for someone from that district. I told him, let me think about that. He said, yeah, take a few days and get back to me. Then I thought, what the heck? I'm going to say yes. I'm retired. I should be able to do it. I said, make that a yes from me. And he looked so relieved.
CEO Daniel Rex certainly has that effect on people.
Yeah, I find it hard to say no when he has a need. Glad to step in and say, all right, tell me what has to be done. And I've been finding out ever since.
Tell us a little bit about the role.
So the role is really not as big as some people might expect. Most of the work is done by the World Headquarters staff. They have something called a meeting planning team, which consists of some key figures involved in education and meeting planning for World Headquarters. The role of the host district chair is essentially to organize and gain volunteers. We have helping hands volunteers. These are the people who actually make things run because they are there to provide support to the World Headquarters staff in all the different aspects of running the convention. They are the ones who interface with members at the convention. We needed 160 volunteers, I was told, for this year's convention. I made it my business to broadcast, especially to all the areas around Philadelphia that we need volunteers. So these are the people who can hop in their cars and drive to Philly. Or if it's a plane ride, it's not that far a ride. They are the ones who can say, yeah, I'll be there and I'll help throughout the convention. A volunteer needs to put in 10 hours, minimum of 10 hours, in order to get the volunteer discount, which is about 40% off registration. So that itself is attractive. But they also get to play a role so that they can say, hey, I helped run the international convention. And it's a great feeling to know that you're part of this great enterprise.
Are you still looking for people?
Yeah, we are still looking for people. We still haven't hit that 160 yet. We are approaching it. We are at about 120 right now. So I keep encouraging people to, they have to first fill in a volunteer interest form. That form allows World Headquarters to screen the people, make sure they are members in good standing and that they can assist. And then they are sent a volunteer registration form, which gives them the discount automatically. They need to be registered before they can actually serve as a volunteer. Then we ask the volunteers to come the day before the start of the convention. So in this case, it'll be Tuesday, August 19th, to come for a volunteer orientation. They are given a tour of the premises of the hotel. And in this case, it's not just the hotel, the downtown Marriott in Philadelphia, but it's also the adjoining Philadelphia or Pennsylvania Convention Center. We'll be utilizing that for the larger meetings. So they'll be oriented before people start coming in on Wednesday, the first day of the convention.
And is there a link on the Toastmasters website for that?
For everything, there's a link. And if they need to, they can simply write to meetingplanning@toastmasters.org.
That's awesome. Yeah. Now, you say your role is not too onerous. Right. You have decades of leadership experience. I'm curious, in this process, is there something special or unique or something you learned so far about yourself by taking on this role?
Well, I say the first thing I learned was that I'm just a tiny cog in a huge machine, but every tiny cog has a role to play. My role in this case is to encourage people to connect with the amazing organization we have on a global basis. Many Toastmasters are just happy being active in their club. That's their world. They haven't realized that there's a bigger, much bigger world out there. My role has been to really activate these members. I have spoken at several district conferences about the International Convention, describe some of its amazing programs. For example, we start with the Parade of Flags. For me, it's one of the most inspiring things about the conference, the convention, Greg, to see people, many of them in their native attire, carrying their country's flag proudly, marching forward as they are announced and they are cheered on, and they step on stage and show off their flag, and then they step off to the side to let the next person come forward. And you see this mass of flags and realize, oh, it's not just about my club. This is a worldwide organization. Touches so many cultures, countries, creeds, so many people. You suddenly realize this touches upon one of the basic human needs for connection, for communication, and for discovering oneself. Yeah. That feeling is very difficult to describe. So I invite people to come and become part of what they already are, but they may not be aware of. Come and see and do your part, because everyone can contribute. And I'm happy to see so many first-timers coming in this time.
In Toastmasters, there's so many leadership opportunities. With the Parade of Flags, I remember the first time that I experienced it, it reminded me of the Olympic Games.
Yeah.
So, Dilip, last year we celebrated Toastmasters' 100th anniversary. It was a centennial year. This convention is the start of a new century for Toastmasters. And there's an article in the June 2025 issue of the Toastmaster magazine, and it's entitled, Envision Yourself, 2025 International Convention. Join us in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, and put your stamp on the organization's future. Now, I'm sure there's some hints in the article title as to what we can expect. So perhaps I'm wondering if you could share with us a little bit about the theme of the convention, and is there a significance of it being held in Philadelphia?
Great question, Greg. Yes, the theme is envision your next move, meaning we are moving into the second 100 years of our organization. Envision your, and it, interestingly, your is spelled Y, parenthesis, O-U-R, and then close parenthesis. So it's yours and ours. Envision your next move as we move into the second 100 years of our organization. We will have what I call future boards set up for people to let their imagination run riot about what the next 100 years of our organization could be. We'll be encouraging people to share their ideas on these boards. We have a speaker who actually has written a book on the subject of planning for the future using these what are called future boards, and she'll be making an educational presentation on that. Actually, instead of dictating what the next 100 years should be, Greg, we are asking people to share their ideas so that we can tap into the collective imagination and creativity of our members. So who knows what we'll end up with by the end of the convention. We might have lots of great ideas to tap from. That'll be food for thought for our board of directors as we ask, what kind of organization are we going to become as we move towards fulfilling our destiny in the next 100 years? It's yet to be seen and yet encouraged as we tap the imagination of our members.
So everyone is being part of helping build a launch pad for the next century.
That's correct.
And again, Philadelphia?
Philadelphia, yes. Philadelphia really has a strategic importance, as you know, or you might know since you are in Canada. But here in the States, we remember Philadelphia as the birthplace of our Constitution, the Declaration of Independence. British drove our government from, in the old days, I'm talking about 1774, 75, 76, that time period. They had to flee New York because the British took control, and they came down to Philadelphia and established government there. It was there that people like George Washington, Benjamin Franklin, John Adams, and the other founding fathers met and talked and discussed in depth about what kind of country we could be, what kind of country we wanted to be, free from the dominance of the British government, King George III, we were free. We had a blank slate to decide what kind of government we would be. And they chose to become a representative republic and forged the documents that guide us to this day. So there it was, Philadelphia, the birthplace of America. And now we are looking at the time of birth for a new 100 years of our organization. We have come a long way, but we should not be satisfied. We should ask ourselves, yes, what's our next move into the next 100 years? And we can determine what it is that we want. The world has changed, as you know, Greg. It's no longer what it was when our founder, Ralph Smedley, got the idea for a club in 1924. Now we're in a vastly different world. We have the internet. We have artificial intelligence. We have so many possibilities pressing on us. We have clubs meeting online. We have members of clubs who are connecting with people in countries they have never even visited, but they are doing it via the internet. So it's like there are new possibilities. What are we going to shape? It's an exciting time. It's also kind of a fearful time in that we don't know what we are getting into. Like most adventurers, we have an idea, but we want to try it. Tap the genius of our membership, knowing that together we can forge it, but no one person has all the answers. So here I am, Greg. I've been a member for 39 years. I want to pass the torch on to others. And yet I also know that I have a role to play in helping them understand their legacy and encouraged them to trust themselves to step forward into an unknown future and yet create a future that will stand us in good stead for long after we are gone.
So Philadelphia makes absolutely great sense. When I think of Philadelphia, I think of the Liberty Bell. I think of the Philly cheesesteak, the Philadelphia Flyers.
Yes. Yes, you got it right.
And I understand that the location you'd mentioned, there's a hotel and a convention center. And I noticed from the article it's meeting in historic Philadelphia. So that's must be very old, the old town, old part of town, or?
It's very close to where we are. And I'm glad you mentioned the history, because we have a tour that we've arranged for people who'd like to get a glimpse of the history and understand some of the amazing things that happen in Philadelphia. So we'll have a tour bus. It's a double-decker tour bus that will take people to various historical sites around Philadelphia. And they can just sit in their seat. It'll be a guided tour. An expert will be commenting on the different points of the tour and describing what happened, why it happened, and the meaning of that, so that people will get a feel for the legacy that is Philadelphia, the legacy to the United States that has gone on to play such a vital role in world history ever since it started, really as recently as 1776.
Just like it was yesterday. I'm looking at the article under the social activity section, which I was going to bring up a little later, but is this the Smedley Fund History on Wheels tour? Is that what that one's?
Yeah, that's right.
Excellent, excellent. And as far as Philadelphia goes, folks, I'll just mention that Aaron Beverly, the 2019 World Champion of Public Speaking, there's an article that he wrote called Philadelphia Faves. 2019 World Champ Aaron Beverly highlights his hometown best. So if you're interested to find out more about Philadelphia and some places to check out.
That's right. Aaron Beverly is actually one of the chairs for our committees. We got him as well as the 2023 World Champion serving on the committees. So it's exciting to have people who know Philadelphia helping with our members when they come in.
Now, is he going to be guarding the shoes? For those of you who haven't heard his winning speech, I won't say anymore, but you got to listen to it.
Yes, yes. That's a very good, insightful comment, Greg, about guarding the shoes.
Yeah, that speech has killed me laughing. Are there a few other highlights? You mentioned the Parade of Flags. You mentioned the tour. You mentioned the keynote, which we can talk about as well. Are there any other highlights that you can share with us?
Yeah, I'd like to mention the education. There is a twist to the educational workshops we are giving. Usually people expect something on communication, something on leadership, maybe something on personal and professional development. This time we have widened it. We have 9 educational workshops. Several of them are repeated twice the same day so that people who miss one workshop can find another workshop in that same vein. Let me explain. For example, on Thursday, there are 4 workshops being given. One is called the Story Finder, given by the 2000 world champion Ed Tate, about finding stories for your speeches. Then there's the Future Boards workshop, which I mentioned earlier. Mm-hmm. It's by Sarah Centrella, who has written a book about planning for the future, using these boards to visualize and map out the future that you want. Then there's another workshop, Mastering Video for Brand Building and Success. It's by one of our accredited speakers, Forrest Tuff. The other workshop is about shaping a new era of public speaking using Melinda Lee's own device. She calls it NET, the NET approach to crafting and creating public speaking. So these are given one time in the morning, then they are given again in the afternoon. And then I'm very excited about this. We call them the journey workshops. So in addition to these educational workshops, the journey workshops focus on the success of the club and the member. One is value-added membership. What that means is learning how to better market you, your Toastmaster skills, and the experience you get and gain as a Toastmaster, market that for your advancement in your work or advancement in your community involvement. Learn how to better market yourself using the Toastmaster skills that you have. So we are talking about, hey, don't just attend club meetings. Now make something happen positively for you in the direction you want to take your life by utilizing that at your workplace, on your resume, on your postings on LinkedIn, or Facebook, or whatever. That's value-added membership. Another one is club growth on a budget. There are many, many clubs that are struggling to build their membership up. What are some takeaways they can get from very successful clubs? Frugally, you don't have to spend a fortune to grow your club, but they'll get tips involving social media, open houses, club meeting locations, resources from world headquarters, and so forth. And then another one is becoming distinguished. Learn best practices to set and track goals, collaborate with club officers, engage district resources, and so forth. And then the fourth one is a corporate club clinic. Learn or refresh the skills needed to sponsor a corporate club. All of these workshops will be facilitated by a past international president or past international director. Each of them will call upon at least three experienced Toastmasters to present for the benefit of the listeners. These journey workshops is not just about a particular skill, but about learning how to maneuver and build upon the skills that you are learning as a Toastmaster for advancing your life or advancing your career.
The skill and applying the skill. That's great.
That's right. That's right.
Oh, that's super.
Yeah.
Folks, the keynote speaker is Anne Bonney, and her speech will be entitled Ignite Your Next Move, Courageously Dancing into the Future. And we did have an opportunity to talk to Anne Bonney on episode 273 back in April. So if you're curious and Anne shares a little bit about what she's going to talk about, incredible dynamic speaker, and she'll be the opening keynote on the first evening.
Yes, Anne Bonney was very carefully selected because we wanted the right speaker to blast off into our, you know, new 100 years and encourage people to think about what their next move would be. So she seemed a logical choice.
And she is a bundle of energy. High energy, absolutely. Check out the episode and have a listen before it. It'll give you an opportunity to decide to sign up for the convention. And also tell us a little bit about the Golden Gavel recipient.
The Golden Gavel recipient is Matt Abrams. He has a very impressive background. He lectures at Stanford University's Graduate School of Business. He is a communications expert. Actually, like Anne Bonney, he is a former Toastmaster, so they know about Toastmasters. Matt Abrams is giving us his address titled From Silence to Brilliance, How to Craft Compelling, Clear Communication. He brings not only an academic background, but also practical experience. He's a communications consultant, author, a podcast host like you, Greg. He's going to bring some unique insights into the craft of communicating, connecting with people with an idea you have to make it an idea that they can embrace. I'm sure we are all going to learn a lot from him.
Yeah, definitely. In fact, we also interviewed Matt in May, and that would be episode 274. Again, we'll put the links to the podcast in the show notes. Actually, I'm looking at the social activities. Tell us about a couple more of those. That would be fun.
So we have a first-timers gathering on the first day on Wednesday. They'll get to meet Toastmasters International President Radhi Spear, CEO Dan Rex. They'll learn how to make the best use of their convention experience. They'll meet fellow first-timers. They'll make new friends. And we want to give them an idea of the possibilities that remain in this with people from approximately 150 countries coming together. Hey, here's their chance not only to hear outstanding speakers and expert presenters at workshops, but also to widen their world, broaden their world, make connections, and we hope that they will continue these connections long after the convention is over. 30 plus years after attending my first convention, for me, it's like a family reunion when I go because I see so many people I've met before, and we know that we meet each other once a year because they come from faraway places. But it means a lot to realize that, hey, we are not only an international organization, we are an international family. First-timers gathering, yeah, I'd urge every first-timer to look out for that and come for that. Then there are some other things that happen. For example, the global celebration reception. Many people will come in their native garb, their native dress, and mix and mingle and enjoy meeting new people and making new friends. One thing to remember is that the International Convention is where we hold our annual business meeting. People running for office are looking to make connections and make an impact with people who are going to be voting. And they have a candidate showcase where they'll be answering questions, allowing the voting delegates to get to know the candidates better. We have Toastmaster networking lunches. The idea of the networking lunch is you're not just having lunch, but you're using that time to mix and mingle with others who are also there for lunch, but you get to know them in a more, I guess, a personal way when you're sharing food, when you're talking over drinks, and when you're making connections. Then I should also mention the semifinals. So for those who are new to this, we have district winners who have gone through video reviews of their winning district speeches, and the winners of that will compete at the semifinals, which are held on Thursday. And the semifinal contest, there are four semifinal contests, each one involving seven contestants. So these are the top speakers from around the districts in the world. And the top two winners of each semifinal contest go on to be a finalist at the World Championship. So there'll be eight speakers at the World Championship. Hall of Fame, I should mention that. You know, ours is a volunteer organization, as you well know, Greg. People are doing things not because there's a paycheck involved. They're doing it for the love of it, for the joy of it. Our way of acknowledging that is to show our appreciation, to honor them at the Hall of Fame. So we'll be honoring district performance, honoring individual performance. Certain people will be receiving presidential citations for their remarkable contributions at the club or district or international level. It's a great place for us to see, here's the payoff. We just enjoy it, and then we shower appreciation upon people who have done so much for the organization.
Wow.
And if I may add one more thing, we talked about the Golden Gavel, but we didn't mention the Accredited Speaker Program. So the Accredited Speaker Program is Toastmasters' recognition of professional-level speaking done by members. So the Accredited Speaker Program is for professional speakers, but we have many professional speakers in Toastmasters. This is where they are given an opportunity to be recognized. It's probably the most rigorous level of assessment done by Toastmasters. They each have to be approved by four out of five judges at an 80% or higher level. And then if they get through the first level, which includes submitting a video of themselves presenting to an audience of 20 or more, then if that's approved, then they go on to level two. Level two is always at the international convention, and they make their presentation. They are judged for being a subject matter expert as well as an outstanding presenter. When you combine those two, you have what is called an accredited speaker. We have 96 accredited speakers in the world so far. The program started in 1981. We have two who have made it so far to level two. It's very hard. Only about 25% of applicants make it through. So we'll have that accredited speaker program on. And then, of course, we have the annual business meeting where international officers and directors are voted upon for service in 2025 to 2026.
And if you need to exercise your pipe, there's Ted Corcoran's sing-along.
Oh, yes, that's right. That absolutely has to be mentioned as one of the most fun social gatherings. You've been to that, haven't you, Greg?
I thoroughly enjoyed it. Yes, I did. Yes. I even had an opportunity, and it's, you basically sing without music.
Right. Yes. Yeah, we keep it simple. Just come, if you have a song, a poem, a story to share. What's interesting is it's from all cultures. I've heard it in songs in many different languages. We all just enjoy just being there. It usually runs from 10 p.m. to midnight every day of the convention, except for Saturday when we have the dinner dance.
And there's no evaluations.
Yes, that's right. That's right. It was formulated by Ted Corcoran, past international president from Ireland, and people love to be part of it.
There's so much compacted in a short amount of time, and it'll offer memories that'll last a lifetime. Now, Dilip, yes. In the article, there's mention of two letters that are available for people. Could you share a little bit about those?
Yes. So there's one letter for people who they have to get a visa to come to the U.S. So this is an official letter saying, you know, this is for the Toastmasters International Convention, for its annual business meeting, for its workshops, its educational sessions. It's an international gathering. We hope that it will make it easier for them to get the visa, because the embassy officials screening them will see that, oh, these people are not just packing their bags, go have a good time at the convention, but there's a real reason for the convention. We hope that will enable them to get the visa a little easier. Then the other is, some people will really need to get the support of their employer or their supervisor to take the time off to come for this convention. And so there's a form that they can fill out. These were designed to make it easy for people to get away and come for the convention. And we hope people will make use of this. There are two links for these.
There's a letter of invitation request form, and then there's a letter to convince your boss. And we will put links to those in the show notes on the ToastmastersPodcast.com website. Now, folks, if you've enjoyed this episode and you're enlightened by the thought of the 2025 International Convention in Philadelphia, I encourage you to share this episode with your friends and family and fellow Toastmasters. You can find the Toastmasters podcast at ToastmastersPodcast.com, Toastmasters.org, Apple, Spotify, and anywhere you get your podcasts. And make sure that you read the article, Envision Yourself, 2025 International Convention. Join us in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, and put your stamp on the organization's future. You want to check out Aaron Beverly's Philadelphia Faves. If you can't attend Philadelphia in person, you can catch the International Convention virtually. Information will be forthcoming in July. Now, some of the events will be free and others will be a small fee. Also, you can watch it as it's happening, and it will also be recorded so that you can go back and listen to it at a future date. Dilip, thank you so much for taking the time to speak with me today, and thank you for inviting the world to come to Philadelphia. And I wish you all the best for the convention and beyond.
Thank you so much, Greg. I appreciate it.